surely thank the Lord for his blessings to me personally and to all of us. I'm glad that the Lord is a very personal Savior. Seems like that's something that lately has been really deeply impressed upon me. Sunday school lesson was good, and I got a lot of good thoughts out of it. But I thought of the time we're living in versus that, and what a privilege we have through the communion of the Holy Spirit, through the sacrifice that Jesus made that surpassed all of Moses' ministry that he could do. And Moses was faithful in all his house, and we're glad for that. He's certainly a servant of God. But I was thinking in my mind as a different testimonies and requests, how much we each one need to cherish and take advantage of that personal relationship with Jesus. He is the mediator. He is the high priest that sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high to intercede for us, and it's through him that we have access to the Father, only through him. I want to read a scripture. You pray for us. I don't feel like we'll be up here very long, but we're sure glad to hear if anyone else had a message, but I just have a few thoughts here, and it's dealing with following Jesus, if I could have a topic sort of with it, and yet the scripture I may be going to read is not just exactly saying that, but in my mind, I'm thinking of what a challenge it is for all of us at every age. I believe the children here, even the little children, can get a hold of this, and I believe all of us can, that God has made a plan. One scripture said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, but God has made a plan through Jesus where it's plain enough and simple enough that everyone is hungering and thirsting. I want to stop a little bit to relate some experiences that's been in my life, in some of my family members, and no doubt in your family members. Just little children, I mean just very small children, having a relationship, getting out and praying in private to the Lord, and just having faith in God, and things that were very, very real, even just small children. So I want to emphasize strong the thought of relying on Jesus. And it's him that the Father has sealed. We might read a scripture here in Acts in the fourth chapter. He's given to be our Savior, our King, our Lord, and Isaiah speaks of him as Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and all this. In the 12th verse of the 4th chapter of Acts, said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to dwell on the thought of us, each one, as we endeavor to fill our place in the body of Christ. And we all are, as we heard this morning, God has placed the members in the body that pleased him, and the church of God is made up of people that God placed in his church. Yes. It isn't made up of people that join a church as such, just man-made, but something God has set in. and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. I thought about what a great sacrifice Jesus paid that we might have the privilege of coming to God by Him. And one scripture speaks about Him being made sin for us who knew no sin. Took upon Him not the nature of angel, but took upon Him the seed of Abraham, becoming the likeness of man and in the flesh to the point where He tasted death for every one of us. So many scriptures in the prophets that refer directly to Jesus and His suffering and His resurrection, His power and the power that the Father would give Him when He completed all that was written of Him and when He was resurrected. And that includes the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking today, when Jesus prayed there in the 17th chapter of St. John, the oneness that He would design each of the believers to have, I believe that He realized that if we each one would just follow Him, He said, I've given them Thy word, the word Thou given me, you know, and I've told them, and they believe that I'm from Thee and everything. And I was just thinking how necessary it is for us, each one, to strive, if I could use that word appropriately here, to follow Jesus. Now, we have many examples that are good examples. And God has blessed us in the church to have just lots of people we look on and have an admiration for their life, the wisdom, the tenderness, the faith, the gifts that God has given them. But God, He wants us to look to Jesus. I just finished reading a little book by D.S. Warren, just a very thin book, What the Church of God Is and Is Not. And I thought how much in this, and I believe he certainly had a vision of Jesus, he emphasized how much that Jesus was the door. He was the commander. He was the governor. He was the ruler of God's church. He was, like we heard this morning, in some degree there's delegations and all that maybe transpires in some degree as far as we read about the people being chosen and ordained to minister to the needs of the widows and all, and said, look out, seven men for the Holy Ghost and so on. But I was thinking in general, today, the Lord is working through the Holy Spirit, but by Jesus. In other words, that's my thought this morning. The Holy Spirit is not something apart from Jesus. One scripture says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy and revelation, and all through the scripture, one scripture said no man could say that Jesus is Christ but by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. So we see Jesus and the Holy Spirit inseparable. In other words, if we have the Holy Spirit guiding us, we're going to ascribe praise and honor and all that we have to follow Jesus. He's the one that we need to follow. I'm just thinking now, what an example. Sometimes in our frailties, we may at our very best make a little mistake. Well, I made some big ones, for that matter, but I'm just saying we may make a mistake, but dear ones, He never made a mistake. And if we can recognize the pattern, somewhere in the book of Hebrews it speaks about the pattern, you know, refers how that God told Moses to build a tabernacle according to the pattern showed him in the mountain. And Jesus is a pattern that God has set for us. Yeah. In Paul's letter, the Second Corinthians, excuse me. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And then I think how important it is for each of us. This will give us a lot of advantage if we can just follow Jesus. If we can just really have him in our view. You know, he said, he that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but to have the light of life. There's no darkness in him. But then I was thinking of some of the characteristics of Jesus. And I believe that we all, as Christians, have some qualities that come from God through Jesus to us that is reflected. Paul's beseeching the church to walk in a way that Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. But yet, on the other hand, in our secret prayer, in our meditation, in our reading the Word of God, in our musing upon him, I believe that he can give us something and enlighten and give us direction that even others can't give us. I thought about the effectiveness of the Spirit of God and the working after Jesus' resurrection in the early church. Thought about Philip and you know where Jesus talks about in the Matthew that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness should be filled. Thought about how Philip was directed by the Spirit to go toward the south and down there, and he, in so doing, was a blessing to the eunuch down there, desiring to know more about God. And oftentimes, there are things in our lives, that is, as a challenge in our labors. I'd say it this way. There's been places, and I want to just testify a little here to emphasize my thought in following him. There's been places where I had a real burden and real desire to be a help, and I wanted to be a help all I could. And I've had people advise me different ways, this way and that way. But I've never had the leadings given me by the Holy Spirit. It was according to the Word of God, just looking to Jesus, that I felt disappointed in no way. He never will confuse us. He never will leave us out in the fog or out in the dark. He may not show us everything we're desiring to see right now. He may not answer our prayer just momentarily. But one thing he will do, he will lead us in a plain path. You know, David, his prayer was, lead me in a plain path. I thought about the scriptures that talks about Jesus as a governor. I believe he wants to govern our lives, and I believe he wants us to study the Word and to feast upon the Word and meditate upon the Word, and he wants us to submit to his way, and when we find our way crossing his way, I think he wants us to go his way, to deny ourselves. And I don't mean by this that I feel like he wants us to be in a place that's not comfortable, but I believe he wants us to walk in love and to be willing to be motivated by love and to be compassionate. I think his word declares that he wants us to be forgiving as he was. He wants us to be patient as he was. He wants to be long-suffering as he was. He don't want us to compromise with sin, though. He didn't do that. But he was a faithful high priest in things pertaining to our salvation. And I was thinking as I read the little book by Brother Warner about what church is and is not, you know, there are things in our lives sometimes that if we're saved from sin, that God maybe wants to change it, But maybe it isn't sin, but maybe it's an error to some degree, and it doesn't line up with the Word of God and what Jesus set forth and lived and taught and reflected in Him. But you know, the Holy Spirit is given to lead us into all truth. And if we'll be tender, and if we'll keep an humble position, and somebody, I want to speak a little on being humble here. If somebody comes and gives us some advice or admonishing or reproof or anything, if we'll take that in a peaceful and a good attitude, we can be blessed by it. Because God has a lot of ways of helping us along in life, and He wants us to serve one another by love, and He wants us to be willing to be admonished. He wants us to be faithful to admonish if he gives the leading. And he won't lead us in a way that's confusion. He's the Lord. One thing He is He's faithful. And the Bible said He is faithful, it promised. He won't do anything but what's good for us. And so I want to surely follow the Lord. And I just, one other little mention I want to make to reflect my thoughts this morning on following Jesus. Speaking of the pattern, as a child, and I guess several here, older folks especially, can identify with me, we did a lot of moving. Even after I married, was a young man, we did a lot of moving. Some of our things that were involved in moving and reestablishing the furniture was putting up the beds, and cutting slats for the bed sometimes, loosen slats. But I'm thinking about the slats in a bed sometimes. You cut one and you put it in from one rail to the other. And then if you make a pattern and you cut them all by that pattern, they'll fit right in there and they'll all be the right length. But if you just cut one pattern and then you just lay it down and you cut another one by this and you lay it down and you cut another one by this, they may not fit. But what I'm saying is that Jesus won't ever lead us apart. He won't ever lead us into deception. He won't ever lead us into anything that's confusing to us. He'll always lead in the path of peace. You know, He says of the increase of His government and peace, there'll be no end. The Lord wants to keep leading us just as long as we're here in the world. He wants to multiply the peace in our hearts. You know, the kingdom of God that Jesus came to establish is in our hearts. Now, when Pilate there, when Jesus was brought before Pilate, he asked Jesus, He is a king, and it seemed like he wasn't quite satisfied and about all he could find out about it. Well, Jesus let him know that to this purpose he is born to be a king, but he wasn't born to be a king just to rule over folks in a carnal way. He was born to be a king to bring salvation and deliverance from sin, and to give people joy and bring us back to God, where that we could have a relationship with God, and that we could have that love of God living and abiding in our hearts. I just thank the Lord for that rock that the Lord laid in Zion for our faith, that we can build on it, we can stand on it. The young folks sang that song about standing on the rock. I really thank the Lord for the rock. I know that we as a church of God, we to some degree in a collective sense, we are the body of Christ, but I was thinking about the necessity of holding the head, the church like as a bride and the husband as head of the wife, like us holding the head in respect and reverence. And I think how important that is to hold that and to reverence Him and to know that He's greater than we are. I'm thinking at our very best, we're probably not going to be all as far as the wisdom that Jesus had. He was God manifest in the flesh. But we can have his nature. By the help of the Lord, we can have the forgiving attitude he has. We can have the righteous attitude in trusting God. We can have the righteous attitude in obeying all that God says, that we understand, as we understand it. So we just, each one, need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we'll do that, wherever we're here for a little while or a long while, or we'll wind up in heaven. He said, no man come to the Father but by me. But everyone that come by Jesus. And in closing, I just want to say that the important thing is to keep following him. It may not seem to you where you're at, I'm speaking now to young folks, that you're all you'd like to be. You may not seem that you're all that you feel that God would have you to be. Be assured of one thing. If you have that desire, if you love to follow Jesus, and you really sanctify him in your heart and in your life, put him first, he will guide you. He will lead you. He will finish the work that he's begun in you. He will complete that to the end where that you'll have no regret. Those of us that are, I should use a different phrase to that, but the people that have followed Jesus faithfully, they wound up in heaven. The people that didn't, a lot of people got let off here and there, but I'm thinking what a privilege we have. You know, the Bible, and I'm thinking especially the New Testament, how clear, how simple it tells of God's Son and the gift that he invested in Jesus for our salvation. And it's not a hard way. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If we follow him, we keep humble, we keep things submitted, well, he's not a hard taskmaster. He's a loving Father. He's all that we need. I desire your prayer. I surely want to follow him. I realize he's the one that God has exalted above every name. And if we just earnestly follow him, we'll wind up the right place. Pray for me.